What do you get when you have one voiceover girl?
And me? That makes two voiceover girls.
Okay, so what do you get when you have two voiceover girls separated by one pond and two perspectives?
Ooh, I know. You get the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast.
That's right. Let's listen as Romy and Jessica share their journey into the voiceover industry.
Hi, and welcome to the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast. I'm Jessica Matheson.
Hi, I'm Romy Santosh.
Today we'll be exploring the question, what is voiceover? And we will also discuss how to know if voiceover is right for you. Romy, what is voiceover in your opinion? Is it what you thought it would be?
When I first started thinking about voiceover, I actually just assumed that it was about recording your voice. Go to a studio, read the script, record the voiceover, and that's it. However, to my great astonishment, it's far more than that. So what the training over the year has taught me is that you have to be able to communicate the message of the script. So you're reading the words, but you must be able to understand the emotions, and you want to be able to connect to the audience. That's really important. So you need to be able to lift the words off the page rather than just reading them, and you've got to convey that message and really touch the audience with it. So you need to sound authentic. That's what the voiceover training involves. And that's the difference, I think, between a complete novice, somebody who hasn't really done any training in voiceover, they'll just be reading the script, and for somebody who has done some training and they'll actually be conveying the message of the script and connecting to the audience. What about you, Jessica? Did you find that voiceover was the same or different than what you thought it was?
I also had a little bit of a different idea of what voiceover was. I figured out that you have to do a lot more acting than I thought you would have to. I guess I always thought acting was reserved for, you know, movies or radio dramas or audiobooks or something like that were fiction. But even in a straight nonfiction script or commercial or something like that, there's characters there. And it's really important to be authentic and not sound fake. Sound like you're just being you in a conversation with a friend or something like that. Yeah, it's a whole lot different than what I thought, for sure.
So I thought, let's have a look at the definition of what voiceover is. And of course, there's lots and lots of different definitions on the internet. So I decided to pick the one by Gravy for the Brain, which is really helpful. So what they're saying is, voice acting is the art of doing voiceovers. It's about providing a voice for use in a professional piece of audio work. So this can range from voiceover for gaming, cartoons, videos, commercials, and much more. And voiceover artists have a number of different titles depending on the area of expertise. So they can be broken down into five basic voiceover types. This includes voiceover announcers, voiceover narrators, voice actors, voiceover artists, and voice talent. So we've got lots and lots of different titles, and that's really good, isn't it?
You know, there was actually, I'm listening to Peter Dixon's new audiobook called Voiceover Man. He talks about this very thing in introducing himself. He gives a little anecdote about, you know, something in his experience, but then he says something about having should introduce himself. And he says, my name is Peter Dixon, voice artist, voice talent, voiceover talent, voice actor, voiceover artist, voiceover man, MV01, announcer guy, voice of God, gob on a stick, vocal prostitute. And then he says, just call me what you will because all the above apply. And it's so hilarious because it truly is just that. There are so many different labels for what we are. and not everyone uses the same label. And they're all okay. And, you know, another thing too, yeah, like you said, there's so many different areas that you can work in. Some of the areas that are most commonly thought of for voiceover, things like commercials, radio, documentaries, audiobooks, you know, cartoons, that sort of thing. That's some of the stuff that comes to top of mind. But there are even other things that I hadn't even thought of, you know, things like phone systems or GPS, Alexa, Siri. Were there any genres of voiceover that surprised you, Romy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just thought about the usual ones, you know, the common ones like commercials and so on. Yes, for example, doing voiceover for toys and games was quite a surprise that it's actually a voiceover artist who's provided the voice or the sounds for a little teddy bear. I mean, it's really cute, isn't it? And also what surprised me was the voiceover provided for live events. So being the voice of God is actually within the remit of a voiceover artist's work, or in our case, it would be the voice of the goddess, of course. There's a huge range of voices that are needed, and the skills and techniques needed for each of these varies enormously. So, for example, the techniques and skills that you'd need for animation are really different to those needed for narrating an audiobook. And we're going to go into a lot more detail when we talk about these different voiceover genres.
Oh my gosh, you are so right there. I mean, time, for example. People do things at different speeds because when you're doing an audiobook, unless you're outsourcing some of the other pieces, so you have to prep the book before you even read it so that you don't sound like you're reading it cold. You have to create your character voices and things like that if it's fiction. And then you have to, of course, narrate the book. And then after the narration is complete, you need to edit. And then once the editing is complete, you need to master your files and upload them. So there's a lot more involved than what the end user gets. As far as time goes, that's a pretty lengthy project. It might take you a month. But then you have these other things like a 30-second commercial spot, which, again, doesn't take 30 seconds. You could be in a session for an hour or two trying to get just the perfect sound for that 30-second spot, or alternate takes that they'll maybe decide on which one they're going to use. And so maybe you've spent an hour or two of your time. Or there's other projects like e-learning apps. I'm actually working on one of those and have been for several months. They send me an Excel spreadsheet that has 300 different words that I have to say that will be strung together in this app and be reactive to the user. So that's an ongoing project that could take months or a year or something like that. Or there's also, I did a little animation piece where I spent an hour live directed remotely from my home. I did the voice for it, but I won't actually get to see the finished product for maybe a year or so. It takes a while to do all of the animation and match it up to the vocal and that sort of thing. So time is so vastly different for different types of voiceover projects. To sum up my very wordy ramblings, there are many voiceover professionals out there. They're doing all kinds of different work that require all kinds of different skill sets, different time factors to consider, and many people specialize in an area or two. They don't do everything necessarily. Some people do, but not everybody. Usually a voiceover will have a few areas that they focus on, that's sort of their bread and butter work, and then they'll have kind of those one-off different things that they do in different genres. And some of these people become really well known, sort of a celebrity in the industry, right? But there are plenty of people out there that get to remain anonymous, and they can walk into anywhere and not be recognized and have their privacy. So you know, there's just all kinds of variation in voiceover.
Yeah, and what I love the most is the variety is just fluid and changes over time. It's adapting all the time to what's happening in the actual world and the real world. So, for example, previously commercials were voiced in a very announcer style, but now you're going to find that they're recorded in a much more conversational style because that's more in vogue now, you know, just sounding like the person next door talking to you rather than something being sold to you. And that's one of the things that I just love about our work as voiceover artists. We really have to keep up with all the trends and the changes and upskilling in order to know what's needed.
Oh, yeah. And it's weird, too, because there's so many times when you see a script that says warm conversational tone or casual tone or something that means sound like you're talking to your friend, right? But then you read the script and you're like, wow, this is a straight up sales script. How in the heck am I going to do this? But you have to figure it out because that's the trend. Another trend that's happening, or maybe it's kind of going out a little bit more now, but was pretty big there for a while, was the flat millennial read. The whole, I am unaffected. I am way too cool to care. Which is so opposite of what you have to do a lot of times where they're like, yeah, bring in your emotions, sound like you're normal, like sound like a surly teenager.
And also, you know, the most recent trend over the last year with the pandemic and everything was the COVID read, the caring and compassionate read, which I just love, you know, the fact that voiceover adapted and reached out and met the needs of what was needed and what people really needed was care and compassion.
Absolutely. COVID spots became such a thing that the term was coined, a COVID read, a COVID spot, a COVID style. I actually just had a commercial demo made this last year by JMC Demos, and he asked me if I wanted to have a COVID spot. And his thought was that even though COVID may not be like it is now, in the future, that read was going to stay. That idea that you're going to have that spot where, and it's very distinctive. It's very, you start out warm and caring and supportive, and then you build into inspiration and success and overcoming obstacles. And, you know, it's a very specific type of read, and people are still going to be looking for it in the next few years.
So, Jessica, were you aware of the different genres of voiceover when you started?
Certainly not. No way. I, like I kind of said before, there were the common things that I thought of, things like commercials and radio imaging, which I did not know was called radio imaging. You know, and I'm not talking about the guy that speaks between songs or whatever, the actual host of the radio show. I'm talking about when you hear like the call sign of the radio station and they're advertising in between that has all that really cool music and all that good stuff. I thought about documentaries, audiobooks, you know, cartoons. But as I learned more over this past year, I figured out that some of the, I don't know, not so sexy pieces, I guess, are out there. And those are people's bread and butter. Things like, you know, phone systems, on hold messaging, things like that, or learning modules. Oh my gosh, that's been a huge explosion for everybody, hasn't it? Going from being in person at school to having to learn online because you can't be around people due to COVID. E-learning is huge. Or educational games, things, GPS systems or Siri or Alexa. I mean, I always thought that those in particular were just a computer system that generated voices. But no, they have to have that voiceover person give them the words so that the computer system can then string them together. Switching gears a little bit, Rami, how do you know that voiceover is the right path for you? Is it something that you can fill out a survey for? Do you go talk to your career counselor? Like, how does that work?
Well, not quite. I would say it's become much easier to get into voiceover now than it was till quite recently, really. Voiceover has always been quite an exclusive area of work, and it was pretty difficult to get into it. It was quite a closed industry until recently. At one time, it was harder to break into this industry, mainly on-camera actors that would do voiceover work to diversify their income. And specialised voice actors were doing things like movie trailers and TV promos, etc. All the work was controlled through agents. And from my understanding, there was just a small group of voice actors who would go from place to place, one studio to another, recording the work. And it's really over the last sort of 10, 15 years or so with the internet and other technologies that have started to change things. So people have been able to buy equipment and set up their own recording at home. And a lot of the work has shifted away from the control of the agents and gone online. So people are able to access auditions and apply for voiceover work. However, that is incredibly competitive now. So huge shifts going on in the voiceover industry. Voiceover career is more accessible to new voiceover artists. And even things like coaching and practice groups are easier with the internet. So many people are able to get coaching online or do online training sessions. So it's so much easier than having to go to theatre school, etc. And just getting together and practice, which is really, really important for your development. So auditioning is also easier with the pay-to-play websites, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. So Jessica, what do you think, what kind of difference do you think COVID has made? How did that change things?
COVID was so different for different people though. So there are people who were in live announcing, for instance, who had all of these events lined up over the year that they were going to do live announcing for, and nobody could do anything in person. And so all of a sudden that income didn't exist for them, whereas in years before it did. On the other hand, people who had, for example, IVR or telephone messaging, those people saw a surge, some of them, in their work because there was a need to record new messages talking about delays and closures or guidelines that people needed to meet before they came in to the doctor's office in person or something like that. So they had all of these messages that all of a sudden they had tons of work. For myself, as a narrator of audiobooks, I found that my competition for projects increased exponentially. I want to say that I heard a statistic that ACX had something like 100,000 narrators, maybe 200,000 narrators. And then after lockdown, it was like 400,000, 600,000, something. It was a crazy number. It was an exponential increase in narrators competing for the same jobs. And so and a lot of the people that were doing narration as a part-time gig while they still had a full-time job because they couldn't do it full-time yet, all of a sudden they were furloughed or laid off or working remotely. Mm. And all of a sudden, yeah, those people were now competing for more than they were before. So it really changed how many jobs you got because there was just way more competition. Another thing that was kind of interesting, thinking about people who were laid off or furloughed, all of a sudden found themselves at home and didn't know what to do with themselves. There were plenty of people who would say, oh, you know, maybe I'll try voice acting. Maybe I'll do voiceover work. And then there were all of these things that popped up, all of these learn how to be a voiceover artist, learn how to make money with your voice in the six-figure range. And so, you know, lots of people went and shopped on Amazon and got a cheap little setup and set up their little sort of sound treated space. And those people flooded the market too. So it just really changed everything. I think my takeaway from that was probably, well, in my experience was like, okay, I have to figure something else out because I can't rely on just this one thing to make the money that I need to make to live, right? I need to now think of other ways. And I think that's where your direct marketing ends up coming in, which we'll definitely talk about more in another episode. But diversifying the areas in which you get work, super important, super important. And COVID just illustrated that point. So switching gears here a little bit again, Rami, with all of these variables, how does somebody know if voiceover's right for them?
Well, a lot of people come into voiceover work because they've been told they have a good voice. Yeah, I think a lot of us have gone through that. But as we've found out, voiceover is not just about having a good voice. There's a whole load more. Your voice actually is only 5% of the whole work. 95% of it really involves a lot more than that. So you need to be able to vary your voice in different ways. So for example, you've got to be able to project your voice, which means being able to vary the volume. So you can be really loud or you can be really quiet. Another example is pronunciation. You need to be able to speak clearly. A lot of scripts might require that clear pronunciation. For example, medical narration or e-learning. But you don't want to go so over the top when you're pronouncing everything that it just sounds terrible. And you just don't want to kind of either. You really need to ensure that you are clearly understood. So your pronunciation needs to be clear. However, you don't want to go over the other way either, unless the script demands it and sound so clear that it becomes really staccato and you sound like a robot. So it all depends on what's required, but you need to understand that there are variations. So you can go from one extreme to the other, but as long as the script demands it. So these are really important things to be able to do, which are all part of the training. And then there are accents, which are just fantastic. We want an authentic Yorkshire accent. And it's interesting that they're putting in the word authentic to ensure that they will get somebody who actually speaks with that particular accent in a very authentic way, rather than an actor just making it up. And that's great because I think previously voiceover was quite narrow. So it was really RP type of voice that was required and was in vogue. Whereas now it's really opened up to lots of different accents and ways of speaking, which is wonderful. And I'm sure that you're experiencing the same thing in the US, where there's a huge range of ways of speaking and accents.
Oh, absolutely. The US has so many different accents all across the different regions of the United States. And I mean, I would love to be able to master them all. That would be so cool. That would just open up a lot for me, but I'm not there yet. So eventually, but you're absolutely right. I mean, there's plenty of times where there's going to be an audition that'll say, we want a neutral accent, and they want that neutral accent because they want it to be able to be used in any market. But then there's some things that they're targeting a specific region, area, market, whatever, where they want something specific. And so with audiobooks, right, that's where I sort of started all my journey, was trying to look into checking out different accents, because I would see in the casting sheet, that they would want to have a New York accent, or they would want to have an urban accent or whatever it was. And I would go, I can't quite do that. Maybe I could do a line or two, but man, I couldn't sustain that through the whole thing. Yeah, it's crazy. It is a shift. There's plenty of times, like I said, that they want the neutral accent.
And I find that something that's quite funny is that I start to imitate the person I'm speaking to. So if they're speaking with an accent, then I'll start to imitate that, which is terrible because it always feels like I'm making fun of them. So I have to be really careful of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm the same way. So I came from the Midwest. I was born in Ohio. I grew up in Dodge City, Kansas. And then my family was Southern. So I was raised by Southern people and around Southern people. And in the Midwest, there's a lot of what they call a Southern drawl, right? And so I had a bit of a Southern drawl. And then I moved to Oregon and I was like the novelty. Like the kids would, I'm sure some of them made fun of me, but a lot of them just thought it was really cool that I had this accent. And so they'd be like, how say this or that? So the word yes, for instance, right? Yeah. Simple, one syllable, yes. No, if you're Southern, it's yes. It's three syllables. Three. Was that three? Oh, well, whatever. Nice. Anyway, but yeah, so I'd have people do that. And it's funny, you do kind of pick up on accents or ways of speaking as you're speaking to somebody. I know when I'm around somebody who's Southern, I go right back into it, even though I don't speak like that every day.
So sometimes I vary the way I speak depending on who I'm speaking to. So if I'm speaking to somebody who's got a very well-spoken manner, then I'll also put on my rather well-spoken voice. And if I'm speaking to somebody who's really quite casual and down to earth, then I'll also speak in that way. Do you know what I mean? So it really depends. And there's been many times, Jessica, when I've wanted to start to imitate you and I've had to hold back and stop myself.
Yes. Oh, that's funny because I hold back too because, you know, I know I don't do a good British accent, although I try. And I remember we were talking one day and I had said something and I sort of put on that sort of like maybe RP accent, I don't know. And you're like, ooh, I heard a little bit of a British accent in there. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. That was probably awful because I didn't want to offend.
Oh, no, you wouldn't have offended. Anyway, something I want to talk about a little bit more is emotional states. We're just giving examples here, of course. You know, like sounding really happy when you've got something happy to talk about. Or sounding really sad when something's really sad. And sounding really angry, letting that come through your voice. You've got to be able to have that range in your voice. You've got to know how to be able to do that really quickly, quite often. So you've really got to be able to bring emotional states into your voice. They have to sound different. Happy, sad, and anger cannot sound the same. So you need to be able to vary your voice considerably depending on the script. Of course, maybe a monotonous voice is required sometimes, but really not all the time. If a monotonous voice is your USP, you may have a niche market, but perhaps not a broad one.
Yep. You know, when I think of making sure that your emotions come through and what not to do, I think of the movie Zoolander. So if you haven't seen Zoolander and you don't understand my reference, look it up. It's hilarious. So Derek Zoolander is a male model in this movie, and he's not very bright. And he has these looks, his model looks, right? And he's named them things like La Tigra, Blue Steel, and Magnum. And everybody waits with bated breath for him to have the new look. And when he displays this new look, it's the same damn look every time. And it's that duck face look that people do in a selfie. And that's what I think of when I think of like not doing your emotional states right. It's just having that one, I'm happy, but happy sounds the same as sad, sounds the same as angry, sounds the same as frustrated. You have to have that variation, particularly because many times you don't have a picture to go along with it. You have your voice to convey your emotion, and that's it. And so it's super, super important to make sure that all of those different emotions sound different.
Of course, this list isn't comprehensive. We're going to go over all of this in much more detail in another episode. But of course, these are the things that you need to consider when you're thinking about voiceover as a career.
Yeah. And you know, too, there's more than just how you're using your voice. There's other skills that you have to have as well to pursue this, right? So you need to be able to act, kind of like I said before. Even though the mom in the diaper commercial may not be a mom, she sure sounds like it. You're thinking you're talking to another one of the moms from the play school group. Mm-hmm. And it could be just, you know, single lady with no kids sitting in her booth, but you would never know. You would never know because that character comes through in her read. And then you need to be able to read out loud well. There are so many times that you will have a script given to you at the very same time that you're supposed to be recording. So you have to do a cold read without any practice. And you have to sound like you're not doing a cold read.
And you need to be able to get into a character straight away. So it's about being ready all the time, being able to understand a script quickly, being able to get into a character quickly, being able to change your voice quickly. So this is why training is so important. And that's what we're going to be talking about a lot during the episodes.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And then also, it's important to seek feedback from others. And I'm not talking about mom. I'm not talking about friends and family. Sure, you can seek out some feedback from them. But friends and family, mom, dad, they can be biased, right? And say that you're awesome. And in their eyes, you are. But maybe you're not quite there yet. And that's where you need to get feedback from people who are trusted in the industry, people who know what they're talking about in relation to this industry. And even if that hurts and it's not what you wanted to hear, even if somebody tells you, you know, sorry, I don't think you're cut out for this kind of work. It is way better to kind of hurt for a second and feel that sting and not waste your time, your money, your effort on something that's not going to work out for you. So seeking out feedback from others who know their stuff is important. And are you committed for the long haul, right? We hear over and over again, it's like a mantra in the voiceover industry. Voiceover is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And so you have to be ready to grow this business over time and do it well and stick with it, because it is going to take effort and money and training and all of that. Anything that's worth it takes time. And the same holds true for voiceover.
I was just going to say, the fact that you've mentioned that you're a business is really important. So not only are you a voiceover artist and you have to train and do all the training and become very good as a voiceover artist in order to be able to compete with everyone else, but you're a business person as well. So you need to understand that you're running a business and you have to take that forward as well. So two different things there that have to come together successfully in order for you to make a successful career. And of course, we're going to be talking about that as well and giving our understanding and advice about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we will definitely dedicate episodes, probably more than one, on the business of voiceover, because it is absolutely your business. It's your livelihood and you need to treat it as such. I mean, unless it's a hobby. If it's a hobby for you or it's just your kind of part-time gig and okay. The level of commitment and effort that you put into it will be what you get back out of it. Yeah. It's sort of like playing the lottery. Like, this is not, lottery is not for investment purposes. This can be for investment purposes, but what you invest, you will get back. If you don't invest very much, you won't. And that's not just money. That's time. That's training. That's other things besides monetary. You have to know whether you enjoy it or not, right? So if you're not enjoying what you're doing, it's going to come through in your voice. Disinterest and frustration, and man, it'll all come through. You don't want to be stuck doing something that you don't enjoy. So be real with yourself. If you're like, yeah, I thought I would really love this, even if you've invested a bunch of money into it, right? If you don't love it and it's not for you, move along. I mean, it's way better than feeling stuck.
And I really agree with that. And that's where authenticity comes into this whole thing. If you love your work, if you really have a passion for voiceover, then your authenticity will come through. And that's what will set you apart from somebody else who's not feeling authentic, who's not enjoying the voiceover work. So love your work and be authentic. Well, there was certainly a lot to think about today, wasn't there? And we're going to give everyone some time to take all of that in now. So thank you for joining us for this week's Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast. And we'd love you to join in again next time, when we explore the topic of what it takes to become a voiceover artist and how do you know you are one. In the meantime, if you like what you hear, make sure you subscribe to the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast on your favorite platform.
Also, connect with us by joining our Facebook group. You can find that at www.facebook.com/groups/voiceovergirlsacrossthepond. So until the next time, take care.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast. This is where we would normally shout out to our sponsors.
Jessica, we don't have any sponsors yet.
I know, but if we did, this would be the shout out. Hint, hint. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast.
And tell all your friends, your family, your neighbors, and everyone else.